Good evening, everyone. It'll take me a bit more than 2 minutes, fair warning. So if you could turn in your Bibles to Psalm 8, please. I'm going to be reading out of the ESV. We'll go through the whole thing and then we'll go verse by verse. So Psalm 8, how majestic is your name? O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes, to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings, and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. So verse one, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. I think this is a Psalm of David, and I think he's just acknowledging the fact that our Lord is sovereign, and that his name is majestic over everything. And in the original Hebrew, majestic is translated from the word adir, which can be translated to wide or large, excellent, famous, gallant, glorious, lordly, mighty, noble, and so on and so forth. And I think this verse also points to God being the God of the whole earth and not just Israel. It says, how majestic is your name in all the earth, not just in Israel. So verse 2, out of the mouths of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. It's interesting how God is using a weaker, a frail, a smaller being to display his glory and strength. And when the enemies of God see this, when they see that there's so much power displayed in such a frail being, there's nothing they can say in return, because who can you fight one that is so powerful to display, who will display his strength through the most vulnerable being? In verse 3, when I look or consider at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and stars which you have set in place, it's kind of only half of the thought there. But David's taking the time to look up at the night sky, which is the same night sky that we're looking at, 3,000 years difference, it's the same sky. He's taking time to really consider and appreciate all that is in it. And if we do consider just the stars in the sky, random fact of the day, one of those stars out there is 640 to 900 times that of our sun. And if it were where our sun is, it would engulf Earth and beyond. And it's just crazy to think of something so enormous. But this verse and the creation account in Genesis tells us that all of that is the work of God's fingers. He put all of those things in place where he wanted them, based on his design. And the only thing we can feel, or that we can react to that, is just, we can only be in awe. Like, just what an awesome God we serve. And then verse 4, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? I think this is really the central part of David's thoughts here. Because he's coming to the profound realization that humanity is ultimately powerless before God. And as he's looking to the sky, he's comparing himself to the immense and endless universe which God has created. And it almost appears that we are nothing in this universe. We are just dust specks floating around on this planet. But we're not. He cares for us, he minds us, and he loves us. But it's not wrong, I don't think it's wrong for David to feel that that God, to question why God would even mind us, because of our sinful nature, we have distanced ourselves from God, and we have done countless things to displease him. So it wouldn't, it's, I don't think it's wrong for him to question why God would even take us into consideration. And he's asking why a God who has designed something beyond our comprehension, why he cares for us, but he does. The original word for caring in the Hebrew is, I think it's pronounced pakwad. This means to attend to observe, to pay attention to. We are but a dust speck in this vast universe, but God does pay attention to us, to the point where he sent Christ to pay the price for the sin of everyone. And then verses 5 to 8, I'm not going to go through it all, but he's done more than just take us into consideration and mind us, as verse 4 says. He's also given us a special position in this universe. If we turn to Genesis 1, verse 26, it says, then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. We are below the heavenly beings, but we have been given dominion over all the other living beings in this world. God's creation is the most intricate and beautiful design possible, and we've been given the privilege of having dominion over nature and its beings. And I think related to that, it shows that God wants us a part of his work and a part of his plan. And then that was 5, 6, 7, 8. And then verse 9 is a repetition of the first verse, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. After all the thoughts that David has stated, I feel a lot more awe and gratitude towards the idea of God being the sovereign God of the universe. And when I truly consider this passage as a whole, how God considers us in this endless universe, how we are truly significant in God's eyes, to the point where he has given us the job of having dominion over part of his creation, it's really humbling, but it also makes me realize that we have a lot to be thankful for. So that is the sum of all my thoughts. Thank you.